Today is Passion Sunday. The readings for this Sunday, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for today's gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, today we reach the climax, the pinnacle of our Lenten season, and in fact of the entire year, as we enter into the time of the Passion, when we will meditate upon the bitter sufferings of our Lord and his cruel death on the cross, in order to unite ourselves to those sufferings, and so to be made partakers of his glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. We've come to this most important time of the year, but I would like to take the opportunity today, even though it is most important that we do enter into the dispositions necessary for this time of year, I do want to take the opportunity to speak about St. Joseph today with good reason. It's the month of March. We just celebrated his feast. We're going to be celebrating have a little celebration after Mass in his honor. But he can also help us as we go into this time of the Passion. So first of all, St. Joseph, he is the greatest of all saints after Our Lady. The Church, as Gary Gulagrange has pointed out, has been teaching this more clearly as time has gone on. This devotion of St. Joseph was reserved for our times. And certainly his devotion to St. Joseph isn't what it should be and should increase as much as possible. But yes, it is a fact that St. Joseph, he is the greatest of all the saints after Our Lady. St. Francis de Sales, he says, quote, "Although it is true that Mary possessed every virtue in a higher degree than is attainable by any other pure creature, yet it is quite certain that the glorious St. Joseph was the being that approached most nearly to that perfection." So it's very clear that after Our Lady, he is the highest in heaven. And what is the reason for this greatness of St. Joseph? It is his mission, the mission that Almighty God entrusted to him. We see this mission in the Litany of St. Joseph, which hopefully we are saying every day. We call him the spouse of the Mother of God and the foster father of our Lord. And this, in these words, we show what his mission was. It was a double mission. First, to be the foster father of our Lord, and then second, to be the spouse of Our Lady. And these things he was most truly. He was indeed the foster father of our Lord. It's dangerous, though, for us to think, well, if he's foster father, perhaps he's just a second-rate father, and that is absolutely not true. He is a father for our Lord in everything except origin. Of course, our Lord, he has only one father in the proper sense of the term, and that is the eternal father. And yet St. Joseph is not second-rate because of this. He was his father in everything. He provided, he protected, he instructed. He fulfilled all of those offices of a father most perfectly. He also is the spouse of Our Lady, even though they did have a most chaste union. He still is her spouse. And Almighty God in his eternal plan wanted St. Joseph to be a protector for Our Lady, a protector of the mysteries of her virginity, but also of her divine maternity. St. Joseph had this double mission, and it was the greatest mission after that of Our Lady given to any creature. And Almighty God gives grace in proportion to the mission he gives a soul. So Our Lady, for example, she was asked to be the Mother of God, and it's for that reason that she is full of grace. The apostles, they were meant to go preach the gospel to the whole world, and so they had a certain amount of grace given to them to fulfill that mission. And it's the same of St. Joseph. His mission was to be the foster father of our Lord, to be the spouse of Our Lady, and so he's given a corresponding degree of grace to that mission. And that is why we say that he is the greatest after Our Lady, because no other saint had a greater mission than he did besides Our Lady. But it doesn't seem so. We say St. Joseph is the greatest, but when we look at the other saints, it seems perhaps that they're more glorious than St. Joseph. St. John the Baptist, maybe. You know, he went and preached our Lord's coming. The apostles went out into the world and converted the whole pagan world at the time. The martyrs, they died for the faith, the glorious doctors and fathers of the church. They seem to be greater than St. Joseph. St. Joseph, he's done nothing as far as the world judges. He's done, it seems, nothing that we would think is so great. If we judge with the eyes of the world, he is just a very humble, simple, silent, self-effacing man. In fact, he's so silent, we don't know one word that he said. Not one word of his comes down to us in Scripture. But that's not how God judges things. That's how the world judges. He might seem little in the world's eyes, but he is great in God's eyes. Our Lord has told us, he that is lesser among you, he is the greater. And so it's this very humility of St. Joseph is another reason we can give to show that he is, in fact, the greatest. He made himself the least, the most humble. And that is something truly remarkable, that God gave him so much, and St. Joseph became so little in his own eyes. There's a famous preacher, Bossuet, who said of St. Joseph, "Though by an extraordinary grace of the Eternal Father, he possessed the greatest treasure, it was far from Joseph's thought to pride himself on his gifts or to make them known, but he hid himself as far as possible from mortal eyes, enjoying with God alone the mystery revealed to him and the infinite riches of which he was the custodian. Joseph has in his house what could attract the eyes of the whole world, and the world does not know him. He guards a God-man and breathes not a word of it. He is the witness of so great a mystery, and he tastes it in secret without divulging it abroad." This very humility of St. Joseph shows us, in God's eyes, he that has been made himself lesser is now made the greatest after Our Lady. So this humility of St. Joseph, we can't let it deceive us. His self-effacement, it doesn't mean he's weak. He is not weak at all. The Church does not hesitate to call him the terror of demons, Joseph most strong. He is by no means weak. A very interesting thing Father Dean pointed out in a sermon on St. Joseph. He pointed out that March is named after the pagan god Mars, the god of battle, the god of war. And the church, to baptize this month, has dedicated instead to Saint Joseph, and very fittingly, because Saint Joseph is a strong man. He is, as Father Dean pointed out, he is a hero in spiritual battle. So we can't let this humility of Saint Joseph make us think that he is weak. That's not it at all. He is strong, and he has been declared by the church the patron of the universal church. And that's what we're celebrating this year, the 150th anniversary of that declaration of Saint Joseph as the patron of the universal church. And it's very fitting that Saint Joseph be called the patron of the universal church. He took care of all of the needs of our Lord. The Son of God, made man, wanted to entrust himself entirely to Saint Joseph for everything. And now we, who are members of Christ, part of the mystical body, we are entrusted to Saint Joseph in a very special way, so that whatever our needs are, we can find them fulfilled in Saint Joseph, in his patronage. Leo XIII, in his encyclical about Saint Joseph as the universal patron, he pointed out that Saint Joseph, he considers now the entire church as his family. So he looks over them with a paternal care. And yes, he said that he considers all Christians as confided to him. St. Thomas Aquinas, talking about St. Joseph, he first points out that with other saints, they help you in a particular need. So you have a St. Anthony that'll help you find things. You have a St. Rita for impossible cases. But he said St. Joseph, he's given to us for every need, every necessity, no matter what it is. And that makes perfect sense, because our Lord went to him for everything, and so now we can go to him for everything. So Saint Joseph, he is very powerful, but not only is he an intercessor, but he's also a model. We must see in him a model of the interior life. There are so many virtues that shine out in Saint Joseph, and we say them all in the litany. Time and time again, we use the superlative, Joseph most obedient, Joseph most just, Joseph most strong. We continue in this fashion, and that's because he certainly had these virtues in the highest degree. It's no exaggeration to say Joseph most. No exaggeration, but all of these virtues we see in him, they're virtues of the interior life. His silence and recollection, his humility, his obedience, his dedication to God's will. And those are things that can certainly help us in this time of the Passion as we go into these two most important weeks of the year. Saint Joseph, he is a model for us. He was silent and recollected, adoring Almighty God in all faith in front of the greatest mysteries. We're about to go into this time that is filled with mystery, this time in which our redemption is wrought, when Almighty God will, in the flesh which he took on himself, die on the cross for us, and we'll look up at the cross, and all we'll see is a tortured, mangled man hanging there. But through faith we'll know this is God dying for my sins. And it's in silence and in recollection that we need to adore this mystery, and Saint Joseph can teach us that. Look too to his humility. Saint Joseph, he had to be humble. He had to teach the Son of God how to make tables and chairs when the Son of God made Saint Joseph himself. He had to be very humble, God living in his midst. And that's the same humility we have to have going into these 2 weeks. Humility because we are poor creatures and very poor sinners as well. Almighty God loves me enough that he's going to go to the cross to die for me. That should humble us in imitation of Saint Joseph. So we must go to Saint Joseph in this year in particular, in this year dedicated to him. We have to go to him in all our needs. He can take care of us in our temporal needs, and often that's what people go to him for. They need to sell a house or they need to get a job. And he does take care of those things very faithfully. But St. Teresa of Avila tells us we especially need to go to him with our spiritual needs, because he is a guide in the spiritual life. In these 2 weeks, we want to intensify our interior life, and that's something St. Joseph can help us with. We need to ask him for that, to intensify our prayer life in these next 2 weeks. Perhaps we're feeling very dry. Perhaps we've been having a hard time practicing this or that virtue. The interior life has just been very difficult. St. Joseph can help us. He can help us to have a good 2 weeks of the Passion in order to grow in virtue in this time. So let's go to Joseph, and I'll conclude with the words of St. Teresa of Avila, which should convince all of us to have devotion to this great saint. I know by long experience what blessings he can obtain for us from God, but if anyone does not believe me, let him try it for himself and pray to the saint. Then he will experience for himself the great good that results from commending oneself to this glorious patriarch and of being devoted to him. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.